So I titled this morning, It's Not About Us. This is a Discipleship 101 lesson here today. As we move forward, if we're involved with the kingdom of God, it's not about us. It is about God. It's about His will. It's about the kingdom of God. And so we look through the lens often of when we're going through situations and problems in life, we kind of look at them through the lens and how it affects us. But here today, I just want to encourage you to look at the big picture, because God is looking at the big picture. And I don't want to discourage you here this morning, but God's got a plan. And God's not going to change that plan for you. Do you understand that this morning? He is not going to change the plan. He wants you to fit into His plan. And so as a church, as we're going in and planning a vision here, we want you to have that in mind that, hey, we don't want God come here to fulfill our vision. No, we want to connect with God and fulfill His vision. So today, as I walk through this, I'm going to talk about some personal things, how it is affecting our church. But the idea is, let's get our eyes off of what we want God to do for us as we plant this vision. And let us look at what we can do for God. Let's look through His eyes here this morning. David Libenstein wrote this. He said, "If a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice?" You know, the Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. But I want to just kind of stir this, because this kind of hit me hard, because, you know, we look at it that way. That it's an honor for somebody in the world to, we you know, if the boss says, can you put in some extra, we do it. If our kids need some extra attention, which they always do, right, we do it because it's our responsibility. But when we have a word from God, or when we're called by God, we call it a sacrifice. Like it's something not normal. I don't know what else to say. And we don't consider it an honor because the king has asked us to do something for him. But we think in this terms of, oh, look what I have to give up to do this for God. When how often we don't count the costs when we're helping and ministering to other people, right? Or doing what they want us to do. So it all boils down to perspective. So a lot of times we judge what is going on in the world as if we are the epicenter of all that God is doing. Get over yourself. Get over yourself here this morning. And so we're going to look at Acts chapter 1 here this morning. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm preaching, I read a scripture and I get a sermon. But sometimes I get a topic, and then you got to kind of find a scripture to find to go with the topic. I don't know if that's the proper way of going around it, but that's what happens sometimes. And so Acts chapter 1, verse 4, this is familiar. And I want to emphasize something we usually don't emphasize as we're reading the scripture. It says in verse 1 of Acts chapter 1, "On one occasion while he was eating with them," this is after the resurrection, "he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For you were baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" How many know this is Jesus' plan? All right? In the next verses, you're going to see the disciples had an alternative plan. Then they gathered around him, Jesus' disciples, and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" So we have Jesus' plan, and now we have the disciples saying, hey, this is what we'd like to really see happen here. But look what Jesus says in verse 7. He kind of takes them back to his plan. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority." Don't we like to know God's timing? Don't we like to know what God's up to? But how many know sometimes he says, "Mind your own business and do what I've asked you to do." "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." As we look at this, the disciples' plan was, what's God going to do for Israel? And we look at Jesus' plan and he says, hey, this is what I want to do for the world. God's plan has more to do with the world than it does Israel. Israel is just a cog in the wheel. It is just part of God's plan. Aren't you glad we are sitting here today because of the fulfillment of God's plan? That God so loved the world. He so loved the United States. He so loved us who live in the area of Edmonton that he gave his son. Aren't you glad for the greater plan? Aren't you glad that the plan that the disciples had didn't come to fruition yet? It's coming. But he said, it's not now. Don't worry about it, guys. I've got it in under control. So the disciples questioned God about the restoration of Israel, like Job questioned God about his suffering. And if you've ever read the book of Job, how many would honestly say, I have read the entire book of Job? It's a good book. It really is. Amen. It's long, but it's good. And if you're familiar with Job, Job had some problems, right? We know that his finances were wiped out, his kids were wiped out, but he was blessed with his wife. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll leave it at that. Who said what? Curse God and die. Yeah. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Gotta love your wife. Amen. We'll move on. Okay. So we were looking at the disciples, we're looking at Job, and they're asking the question why, right? That's what we always ask. And maybe they were asking the wrong questions because God gave them something, an answer that they weren't really waiting to hear. Let's just say that. Job wanted to understand about his suffering. The disciples wanted to know about the kingdom. Both of their situations entailed more than just themselves. There was a bigger plan in play. All these individuals started from the wrong assumption that it was all about them. Why is this happening to me? Instead of the big question is, what is God doing in the midst of this? What part do I have as I'm going through difficulties and problems and situations in my life? What's the big plan? What's God have in store? Instead of just, man, this has affected me and I want out of it. Isn't that how we pray? Isn't that why we pray? We want relief. We don't want to go through it. But how many know the Bible says that we only become mature believers by what? The tribulations and the problems that we face in life. You would never grow up if you had never had a problem in your life. In Acts 1, the disciples were concerned about the restoration of Israel. Jesus was interested in saving the world, not just Israel. Jesus said in verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. What he was saying, it's not about you guys. It's not about you. And that's something that should register in our heart today as we walk out of here. It's not about you. And today I want you to know that it's not about you. What did I say? All right, okay. I can sit down now, right? Amen. And everybody said amen. All right. Dick Brogden wrote a book, Missionary God, Missionary Bible. This is a devotional. It takes you through the Bible, and it's a 365-day. And I'll tell you what, it kind of has opened my eyes because he comes from the point of view that God has a worldview. We have a personal view. And so every devotion is based on the fact that God is interested in reaching the world. And this is what Dick Brogden says. He's a co-founder of the Live Dead. Many of you are familiar with that. Many of our missionaries that we support are part of the Live Dead movement. And he writes this. He said, ultimately, we all think we're the center of the universe. More so, we think most important bilateral relationship in history is ours and God's. But what if my suffering or the present situation, my situation has nothing to do with me? What if my suffering or the situation is all about God and others? What if my suffering reflects the suffering servant who innocently paid the price for others? What if God thinks beyond just the two of us? Folks, we need to think beyond ourselves. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever experienced the wind being knocked out of you. And I have a number of times, and it's not a pleasant feeling. Let me just say that. It's not good. And usually when we get the wind knocked out of us, it's caused by some form of trauma, right? By maybe an accident, maybe falling down, or somebody helping you along by punching you in the stomach. Imagine in wrestling, I don't know if you ever had the wind knocked out of you when somebody slams you to the, or you knock the wind out of them. Okay, that's how that works. Okay, you knock the wind out of them. I remember one time a friend and I were climbing in a tree. I fell out, and I find myself looking on the ground. And folks, I could not breathe. And how many knows when we get the wind knocked, it hurts. You can't breathe, and you're just kind of paralyzed. You're just kind of waiting for that breath to kind of catch up to you. You're just there in a kind of a scary place. It is, because you can't breathe, and you begin to freak out, if that's a good word to say. You become scared. And as the body is made, it has a way of recuperating. And then you kind of discover, you kind of experience a resurrection. All of a sudden, that breath comes into you, and you go, and you can breathe again. Amen. Most of you watch TV. Most of you have seen movies where a drug addict, a Narcan, or somebody's drowning, they do CPR. All of a sudden, they come alive, right? And so we've all had the wind knocked out of you. And just in the past week, and I'm not talking about everything. I don't know everything that's going on in your life, but we've kind of encountered a few things that kind of hit close to home. Within the last few days, or even this past week, several things have happened within the families connected to our church. And it started with Miles the end of last week having a seizure. We had a situation in our family. My oldest daughter's in a very terrible situation, and we almost had her home. We almost had her, we got her to Du Bois before she turned around and went back into that situation. And then as I was coming back from our meetings on Monday, and after dealing with my daughter, we heard the news of Dick passing away. And these situations, church, make us feel like the wind has been knocked out of us. They stop us up short. It wasn't on our radar. It wasn't something we saw coming. It was a sudden event. And all we could do in those situations was we either act or we react. And as we look at it, and as each family is participating in these things, it's personal. It hit home. They're hurting, you know, or it was their situation to deal with. Yes, the body of Christ was on the outside looking in, but we kind of personalize it and say, this is my situation, this is my problem. So we look at on this side of the events, and we question, and we have questions just like the disciples in Job. We ask the questions, why? We want to know the answers. We recognize that there is an attack of the enemy. How many know we have an enemy, right? But how many know sometimes natural consequences are part of what we're going through? We like to blame the devil a lot for things that he's not even responsible for. How many know a lot of things that we go through are because of decisions and choices we've made? And then we've got to blame somebody other than ourselves. You know, we can all act like Flip Wilson here and say, the devil made me do it, right? We can go that direction. But the Bible also tells us there are going to be trials in life. And as these trials are the things that test our faith. We wouldn't need faith if we didn't have trials. It'd be a piece of cake. So the question we seldom ask is, what is God accomplishing in others in the middle of my situation, our situation? We don't ask that question. Because we are inward focused. How is this affecting me? How am I going to get through this? God wants you to get through it. Don't dismiss what I'm saying here today. But God is doing something bigger through your circumstance. How many know there's power in our testimony? We've all come from different places, and we all have a testimony, and they are powerful. Because there are people in this world who are looking for answers. And we can just plaster scripture at them. We can throw it at them and just say, hey, you know, Jesus will do this. And if we've never walked through anything, it's kind of hollow. But if we can sit down and say, hey, this is what God has brought me through. And this is the scripture that he's given me. He has given me the Holy Spirit. And he's walked with me all the way through it. Sometimes the answers came immediately. But how many know most of the time we have to walk through it? We have to walk through it. The testing of our faith. You know, one of the greatest evangelists that reached people is Dave Reaver. I love that guy's testimony. It is amazing. I have sat through many meetings where he has given his testimony. Powerful. Powerful. We can say, well, why did God let it happen to begin with? I can't answer that. But all I can know is that because he did do that, he has a testimony that touches and changes people's lives. You see, Dave Reaver at one time was ready to commit suicide. He was ready to blow his brains out. But he had a loving wife that supported him and said, I'm going to love you just the way you are. He has a testimony of being delivered. A testimony of sharing his story. A testimony of lives being changed. Because why? Yes, he went through a horrendous situation. A phosphorus grenade, if you're not familiar with the story. He was ready to throw it. A sniper hit it, and it blew up and burned his body. He is not a pretty guy to look at. But I'll tell you what. You can't help but love the guy. You can't help but love the guy. So, as we're walking through it, you know, yes, we can ask the questions why, but maybe we need to be considering the big picture. Our experiences leave us with a narrow view of God. We can only see it from our point of view. The great thing about the body of Christ is this, that we all have a testimony, and all those testimonies are different. And so, as I shared in the funeral, there's facets to people's lives. And so, what we do is, you can share your testimony, you can share your testimony, you can share your testimony. And what we do is we all see a different facet of God. It begins to put a bigger picture in our mind who God is. Instead of us just looking, well, this is who God is, and this is how God works. Because that's what we do. We are narrow-minded. But when we begin to hear people's story, it's like, wow. And some of you have some incredible stories. And you just have to sit back and say, wow, our God's great. Our God's incredible. Our God is multidimensional. Not just how I view him. The disciples' view of the Great Commission was the restoration of Israel. They had just watched Jesus die and be resurrected. And you know what was in their mind? Okay, God, we're ready. Let's restore Israel. That wasn't in God's mind. We need to become all things to all men that we might save some. That was Paul's philosophy. Become all things to all men. And folks, it's time to get out of our narrow track and begin to realize that, hey, God works in many different ways to reach people. Amen. I can imagine. Nope. Yep. Nope. My notes are all mixed up. I'm lost. All right. Here we go. All right. Nope. I need notes. I'm sorry. So our the wind knocked out of us experiences, I don't know if that's proper English, but reminds us, and it is a testimony to others about the goodness of God, what God has brought you through. In that, we can see his faithfulness, his provision, his healing, his peace, his strength, his love, his protection, his mercy, his grace, and whatever you want to add to that list. That's what we begin to see. And so we need to have a wide view. The importance of the body of Christ is to expand our view of God through others' experiences. He's bigger than what we've made him. We've all created a Jesus in an image that we've created. And he's saying, don't put me in a box. Let me out. But we see he even wants us to have a wider view. The importance of missions gives us a worldview or different cultural interpretation of God. And that blows us. I've got to preach in a number of nations. We used an interpreter. And there were some things that just could not be translated the way I was communicating. And the interpreter would just look at me and say, we don't have a word for that, or I can't describe that, or what are you talking about? Because many of them are from that nation, they know English, but they can't understand the American mind of what we call the gospel. And again, this reminds me, not everything is about us. Out of all the missionaries that I have brought in as a pastor, Dan and Sarah Bricker, you remember them, are Cambodian, missionaries, these two, more than any, opened my eyes to the difficulty of preaching the Great Commission. And this will be a reminder. Remember, they talked about John 3:16. They reach Buddhists. And if you share John 3:16 with a Buddhist, you lost them. They'll turn you off. Because what it means to us is not the same thing that it means to them. Let me just remind you, they minister to the Buddhists. And again, you know John 3:16, put that up there. I think I put it up there. Don't I have John 3:16? Okay, it wasn't up there. I have a screen right there. Okay, all right. All right, it's for some of you guys that haven't memorized it, all right? Don't think that this is the most popular scripture anymore. Right? People don't know this scripture. So don't assume people in the United States know this scripture. But anyway, they use this scripture. And this verse, as I said, is a hindrance to the conversion of the Buddhist. And again, let me just kind of refresh your mind of what they said. Because they serve many gods, they don't have one supreme God, creator. And so when we say for God, right, we have one God. They can't comprehend. Right there, you've kind of lost them. And then they go on and say this, I don't know how to pronounce this, samsara, cycle of suffering, is life is suffering, and the chief goal is to escape into non-existence. So what they're doing is they're cycling out of life, and they don't believe in eternal life. They don't want eternal life, because that just means if you go to the next life, you're going to suffer some more. What they want to do is they want to get to the place where they don't exist anymore, where they don't hurt anymore, where they don't have to suffer anymore. They brought out the point that love is an emotion, and it is ultimately a bad thing in Buddhism because it's seen as a weakness. So you begin to see that the scripture is kind of turning them off rather than getting them excited about the good news of Jesus Christ. And again, we understand, and we've heard the word karma, right? It's the samsara cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. And if Jesus had to go to the cross, well, in Jesus' previous life, he must have been a very bad dude. That he had to suffer like he did in this life. Which means he's coming back to suffer in the next life until he gets it right. So we begin to understand that God takes a worldview. Our view as Americans, we kind of think that everybody should understand the gospel as we understand it, as we present it. Yes, it might be good in our culture, but it stinks around the world. It's not a good tool the way we present the gospel. And so the gospel has to be unique to these individuals. Buddhists who have converted to Christianity can teach us new insights about God. Because why? They have to have a different view from God, of God than we do. They're going to have to see a different facet of Jesus Christ to accept Jesus Christ. Because we can't John 3:16 them. It's just not going to work. We need to expand our knowledge and wisdom of God so that we can interpret Him and share Him with others. And America, folks, is failing. America is going down the tubes. Its spiritual foundation has been eroded, and people do not know Jesus Christ like we think they know. Two or three generations ago, if you mentioned Jesus in the church, it was a positive thing. But today, people do not even know or recognize the name of Jesus Christ in our nation. Folks, we've come a long way. But as we live in the world today, we've got to discover how to present Jesus Christ in a new light to a generation that does not know Him. The old ways, church, are not going to work. We need the wisdom and the creativity of our God to show us, to teach us. Yes, the Word of God is powerful. Yes, we need to keep praying, right? We still need the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we need these things. But how they're going to be demonstrated may be a little bit different than what we're used to. We need to become all things to all men so that we may save some. That's what Paul said. So I'm wrapping up here. I can imagine, As I said, Jesus was kind of exasperated and frustrated with his disciples. He spent 3 years preparing them, and they heard that he wanted to reach the world. But yet, when it came down to it, they weren't ready to reach the world. They were still looking inward. They were still looking at, how does this benefit me? They were only concerned about the things that mattered to them. And they lost sight of what mattered to Jesus. Jesus spoke, said, hey, I want you to stay here. I have a wonderful gift. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. Okay. When are we going to do Israel? When's Israel? What's my part? Because they thought they had a part. They were his apostles. But Jesus says, no. You're not going to stay here. You're going to go around the world. Yeah, you're going to start in Jerusalem. You're going to go to Samaria. You're going to, move on out. But you are going to reach the nations. You see, the importance of our church vision rests on the idea that it's not about us. And believe it or not, our vision has a lot to do with us. And it has to. It has to start somewhere. It begins with us. But folks, let's not let it stay there. Let's not let it stay there. We talked about connect. We need to connect. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to encourage you. Still connect with those that are here every Sunday morning. It's a good practice. I encourage you, when you're in the store, talk to people, connect with people. There's no greater place to minister to people. They'll stop you and tell you all their problems. Why? Because they have no one else to go to turn to, that has an answer. And maybe those opportunities are divine appointments. We need to build a bridge to one another, a bridge to those that do not know Jesus Christ. We talked about worship. What do we want to do? We want to create an environment where people experience the presence of God. Because I want to tell you today that the presence of God is not in every church. Just because they're singing hymns or songs or mentioning God, He's not there. His presence is not there. And they are not allowing His Spirit to move. Folks, we need to create that environment. And I'm telling you today that many cultures, many religions, the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Hindus, think we are very insincere and very undisciplined as disciples of Jesus Christ. Because all those religions are very disciplined. Oh, we have freedom. No, we've used our freedom not to worship God the way He prescribed. Folks, people should see a difference in our life. And people of other religions should see Jesus in our life. And the last one we talked about last week and we're kind of talking about today is grow. And we want to be equipped to go. We talked about a disciple is a present follower of Jesus. You need to be walking with Him, what? Daily, on a regular basis, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If not, all you have is fire insurance. Right? So, if ushers will come, we're going to do communion at this moment. Let me just say this as we get ready to celebrate communion together. He said, when you do this, every time you gather, He said, I want you to remember me. And this is one of the ways He said, I want you to remember me. And as we're taking that today, this is an opportunity, yes, to get things right with God. If you blew it this week, this is a great opportunity to make things right. But I also want you to think about it here this morning. How you've been looking at your life and the situations you've been facing. Are you whining and crying because of what you've been going through? Folks, the Bible says that what you're going through is not something unique. He said your brothers around the world and your sisters around the world are facing the same temptations and the same trials as you. We're not in this alone. But we all kind of have this tendency to think it's all about me. But maybe God has something greater in store for what you're going through. That when we're on the other side, we'll have a testimony of all those wonderful things, His faithfulness, His provision, His healing, His peace, His strength, His love, His protection, His mercy, His grace, all those wonderful things that we can share with somebody else. The Bible says we are His masterpiece. And you just don't throw paint on a canvas and say, that's a masterpiece. It takes some work. And God is weaving all these events into our life to make you a masterpiece. His masterpiece. And if we can accept that, we can kind of begin to think, life's not just about me. Hey, I believe you could use this in a greater capacity. Hallelujah.